This week, of course, we celebrate Purim. And the way the calendar comes out this year, it turns out that it's, at least, you know, for Krachim, Amukafim, Choma, Mimosi, Yoshua, Benun, like Yerushalayim, which has that status in any case. So it's a very unusual year, and the question is, how exactly should it be celebrated? Normally, the components that we associate with Purim all come together, and that's optimally the way that it should be. The Kriyas HaMegillah, the Matanas Levyonim, the Mishloach Manos, the Seuda, all of these components ideally should come together. The problem is, when it comes out on a Shabbos, as we know, so it becomes a little bit complicated. We have the Gzeira of Rabbah, Shemayavi Renu Dalad Almos Brishas Arabim, so we can't have the Kriya on Shabbos. The question is, what happens with the rest of it? How do we celebrate this day? And if we have to split things up, what goes with what? And that in itself is a very interesting question, which can be used to highlight the interrelationships between different aspects of the day of Purim. So the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, excuse me, relates to this question. And the Gemara tells us that when you have the situation of Chalios B'Shabbos, Purim Shechalios B'Shabbos, Om Rabbi Yeshua B'Levi, Purim Shechalios B'Shabbos, Shalim V'Dorshin B'Nyano Shalyom. So the Gemara makes a very interesting and important, seemingly important statement, and that is that when Purim falls out on Shabbos, Shalim V'Dorshin B'Nyano Shalyom. What you should be doing on that Shabbos, the day of Purim, is Shalim V'Dorshin B'Nyano Shalyom. Then the Gemara says, Ma'iriya Purim, I feel the Yontif Nami. This is a general principle that Sholim V'Dorshim Binyano Shalyom. The Tanya, referring to the Gemara in the end of the end of the Masechta, Moshe Tikkun Lem the Yisrael Shu Sholim V'Dorshim Binyano Shalyom. Hilchos Pesach v'Pesach, Hilchos Atzeres v'Atzeres, Hilchos Chag v'Chag. So, what's the difference between Purim and everything else? So the Gemara says, Purim Mitzrichalei Ma'u Deseim Nigzar Mishum Deraba. I might have thought that that too is connected with the Megillah and with Kriyas HaMegillah, and therefore it should be discouraged. Kamashmalan. So the truth is that while the Gemara doubts the importance of the statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Sholem V'Darshim, and the Gemara says, well, it's like any other holiday. The truth is, it isn't like any other holiday, because Purim is really different than the other holidays. And there's a bit of a chiddush in Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's very halacha. After all, the other holidays have a certain kedushas hayom, and their halachos reflect that kedushas hayom. So if we say not only that, you know, you need to know, it's obvious that you need to know what to do on every moed, but the concept of shalim v'darshin seems to transcend that. It's about the kiyum in the day itself. Understanding this particular day and understanding it in a Shalim V'Darshin type of way. Shalim V'Darshin implies a method of Talmud Torah. Shalim V'Darshin, something to be shol and to be dorish, meaning where there is more than meets the eye, beneath the surface, in other words, of the story or the particular halachos, there are things to extract, interconnections, to link a deeper understanding and connections to the rest of the year. That's all implied by the general view of Moshe Tikkun Lem Yisrael about being Shoel and Doresh B'Inyanei Shoel. There's a concept of Inyanei D'Yoma, and it's not so obvious, at least not to me in any case, that that would be the case with respect to Purim, which is why it's a little tamua that the Gemara asks the question that it does, like, isn't this true for all Moadim? But in any case, this is what the Gemara tells us, and this is a very important Gemara, because it's basically the only Gemara that focuses on what happens when Purim falls out on a Shabbos. So we should really give a little attention to this Gemara. The Bali Tosus contrasts it with what happens called Shana. That's one could have said in the Gemara that Sholem B'Darshin, B'Inyano Shalyom, is something that applies every Purim. And as the Gemara itself says, so what's the special Kiddush here? The answer is, well, would have thought that on Shabbos Dafka you are concerned about that, because it will lead to a Shema Yavirenu Dalad Amos Purchas Arabim kind of situation, since you're being Shoal Vidoresh the Megillah, that's the primary text. Well, Kamashmala, but Kol Hashana, Kol Shanim rather, where Shabbos is not Purim, so then presumably there's still a din of Shoal and Vidorshim on a regular day of Purim. That would be the simple reading of the Gemara. The Balei Tosfos and the Rambam both reject this. Tosfos says, Purim Shekholios B'Shabbos, Dafke B'Shabbos, Lefi She'ein Korin HaMegillah, Mishum Gzeira DeRabba. Aval B'chol, Ein Sarich, Shari Korin HaMegillah, Utvei Ika Pirsume Nisa. Actually, this Ha'ara supports a little bit my comment before, which is basically Tosfos is saying that on a regular Purim, there is no halacha of Shoalin v'Dorshin. There is simply Kriyas HaMegillah, but there's no din of Shoalin and Dorshin at all. Again, it's just a little strange, if that's true, why the Gemara thought that this wasn't a Chiddush. But nevertheless, that would emerge from Tosfos, that the regular din of Shoalin v'Dorshin doesn't apply to a regular Purim. The Rambam, likewise, in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Megillah, Halacha Yud Gimel, excuse me. The Rambam also, like the Balei Tosfos, assumes that this is a special din in Purim Shecholios B'Shabbos. Perek Aleph Halacha Yigimel. Rambam says, "Ein Korin Es Hamegillah B'Shabbos Zera Hashem Yitlana Biyado V'Yelaketzal Mishubaki Likros Av Yavrenu Da'adam Rishus Arabim Shakochiam B'Kriyasa Ein Akol B'Kiim B'Kiriyasa Lefikachem Chol Zman Kriyasa B'Shabbos Makdimin V'Korin Osa Kodam HaShabbos." And then he adds, "B'Sholin B'Darshin B'Hilchos Purim B'Osa Shabbos Kedei Lahazkir Shehu Purim." So again, actually, it's not 100% clear. It's not as clear as the Balei Tosfos that we don't do this on a regular basis. But it does sound a little bit in the Rambam, this is certainly the way it was taken, that the Shoal and the Darshan is Kedei Lahazkir Shehu Purim because of the absence of the Megillah. But in a situation where you have the Megillah, there's no independent halacha of Shoal and the Darshan on Purim like there is in a regular Moed, that the concept of being Doresh and Talmud Torah and again, these kind of beneath the surface connections that we need to extract, the values that we need to extract, either we have other ways of accomplishing them on Purim through a heightened sense of consciousness, through the Mishta and the Simcha, or it's simply a different kind of a moed. So both Balei Tosfos, even clearer, and the Rambam also, sound like the din of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is a Chiddush and is limited actually to Purim, Shechal Lios B'Shabbos. However, if you read the Gemara, there's certainly no reason to come to such a conclusion. From the Gemara alone, it would appear that it's even Purim Shechal Lios B'Shabbos, not only Purim Shechal Lios B'Shabbos. We know that there's a general debate what happens when Purim is Shechal Lios B'Shabbos, which focuses particularly on the Seuda, but not only on the Seuda. The Rishalmi, quoted by the Rishonim, or the Rif quotes the Rishalmi, says that the Seuda should not take place on Shabbos itself. It's very fascinating why that is so. One would have thought that this would be a Chisaron in Shabbos. Basically, the Rishalmi says that there's a difference between Seuda Shabbos, which is Kavua V'Kaima Misheshes Yimei Bereishis, and the Seuda Purim, which is Lasos Osa, which is created in part, or which is connected to the Kiddush of Kiddush HaChodesh and of Bezdin. So one would have thought that somehow there's a violation of Kiddush HaShabbos if you have the Mishnah of Purim on Shabbos. That somehow it detracts from it, and we can't allow this on Shabbos. Just like the Kriyas HaMegillah on Shabbos is a problem due to Chashash Shechilul Shabbos, right? Shem Yavirun Da'aramas Bershus HaRabim. So too, one would have thought that that's the problem of integrating the Mishnah of Purim and Shabbos, that it would be a flaw in the Oneg of Shabbos. The Suda Shabbos is a different kind of a Suda, and it can't be tarnished or in any way compromised by it also being shared with the, you know, rowdier, mishta-oriented, or simply the initiative of the Chachamim through Kiddush HaChodesh. But the fact is, if you look at the language of the Yerushalmi, it's interesting to note that just the opposite emerges. The reason that you can't have Seudas Purim B'Shabbos is not because some flaw, something that would impinge on Kedusha Shabbos, but quite the opposite. It sounds like Shabbos is not a good fit for Seudas Purim. And somehow the fact that it's Kavua B'Kaima and it's not Osa Osa Mishta, it's not the input of Bezdin, somehow that detracts from the quality of the Seudas Purim, and that's the reason that Seudas Purim does not take place on Shabbos. That in itself is a very important perspective. But if you look at the language of the Yerushalmi, that really is something you have to note, but it's something which I think, once you're sensitive to it, is undeniable. The tour, again, quotes the Rambam here in the Tuf Reish Tzad, Tzadi Zion, I think. And then the Beis Yosef records the general. One second. Here. The general accepted opinion, which is that we delay the Seuda. One second. We delay the Seuda to Sunday. However, it's interesting to note that the Bach and the earlier, the Ralbach, Rav Leib ibn Chaviv, disagreed. And Rav Leib ibn Chaviv, even in Yerushalayim itself, insisted that the Seuda should take place on Tezvav itself, on the day of Purim. He assumed that there was a debate between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi in this point, and that we reject the Yerushalmi based on the Bavli. What is this Bavli that is against the Yerushalmi? So the diuk of the Rabach is as follows. The Gemara said, the Mishnah says in Megillah and Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, Rosh Chodesh Adar Shecholios B'Shabbos Korin B'Parshas Shkalim Cholios B'Tocha Shabbos Magdimin L'Shavar Mavsikin L'Shabbos Acheres B'Shnia Zachar B'Shlishis Paraduma B'Revius HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. And the Chamish is Chozrim L'Kesidra. So basically the Mishnah says that if you have Rosh Chodesh Adar Shecholios B'Shabbos, which is what happened actually this year, right, Korin B'Parshas Shkalim, that's Shabbos, you say, you, that was last, the previous Shabbos, you read Parshas Shkalim, and then Cholios B'Tocha Shabbos, Magdimin L'Sha'avar Mavsikin L'Shabbos Acheres. Otherwise, what you do is you always try to make sure that Parshas, you skip a Shabbos, you have Shkalim earlier, and then you have Shabbos before Purim. Either way, you'll always have Shabbos Zachar. Okay. Question is, what happens? What happens in a situation like ours? So the Gemara records a debate. Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, Itmar Purim Shchalios be'erev Shabbos, which is like this here. Rav Amar Magdim in Parsha Zachar, which is how we paskin. We have a Parsha Zachar, like we just read this Shabbos. Mushmul Amar Me'achrin. Rav Amar Magdimin Ki Heched Lo Tiktum Asiya Lezechira. So Rav said that the reason that you have Parsha Zachar first is in order that the Zechiras Amalek, is something that will take place prior to the Asiya. Ushmul Amar Ma'achrin, Amalach Kivin De'ikim Mukafim De'avdi B'chameis Esrei, right? Uzechira, so therefore the Asiya, Uzechira B'hadi Adadi Ka'asya. So the view of Shmuel was that in this situation it's better to integrate Parsha Zachar together with the Asiya, even if that means that your Dalid, like this year, which will be on Erev Shabbos, would not take place, the Asiya of your Dalid would not take place before the Zechira, but that's worthwhile that's a worthwhile concession, because the Mukafos Choma, who have Shabbos and Purim on Yom Tezvav, they'll be able to integrate Zechira and Asiya. That's the view of Shmuel. We don't paskin like Shmuel, but that's the view of Shmuel. So the Ralbach asked the following question. What does the Gemara mean when it says Asiya? We're talking about the relationship between Zechira and Asiya. There's some Asiya that we're integrating Zechira with on the Shabbos, when Shabbos is Chal on Tezvah. What is that Asiya? It must be, the only Asiya that we can think of, says the Ralbach, is the Seuda, which proves that the Seuda takes place on Shabbos, and therefore that the Bavli disagrees with the Yerushalmi. Okay, that's the argument of the Ralbach. Udi'ime, those people who went along with him, there were a number of such people, who insisted that the Seuda would take place on Shabbos. How do we respond to that question according to the more normative psak, which is that the Seuda takes place on Sunday, the Kriyas HaMegillah takes place on, everybody agrees that the Kriyas HaMegillah takes place on Friday, so that's certainly not the Asiya. If the Seuda is not the Asiya either, so what is this Asiya that we want to integrate with the Zechira, and which is usually preceded by the Zechira? How does that express itself in the case of Purim Shechalios B'Shabbos? So I'd like to suggest, I haven't seen it, but I'd like to suggest that it's a reference to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. That instead of just being compensation, if you will, or overcompensation for not having Kriyas HaMegillah on this particular Shabbos Shechal Bo Purim, that the idea of Shalin V'Darshin on Purim is really an important theme on Purim itself, in general, and that is considered the Asiya. I think this is particularly a compelling suggestion if you take if you take it in light of the connection between Purim and Talmud Torah and Kabbalah Satorah. Right? The Gemara in Shabbos, of course, Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph, commenting on the words of the Megillah, Kima V'Kiblu, Kima Masha Kiblu Kvar, that the time of Purim was a special Kabbalah Satorah Me'ava B'Bechira, without the Kaf Aleihem Har Kigigis. And of course, according to the famous Girsa of the Mordechai, which Beis Yosef, among others, quotes, of the Gemara in Psachim, Daf Samach Chesam Ad Beis. There the Gemara discusses the debate about Kula Lachem, Kula Lashem, Chatzil Lachem, Chatzil Lashem, the debate between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara there notes that Purim is an exception to the Chatzil Lachem, Chatzil Lashem norm, and in fact, on Purim, it's more Kula Lachem. But according to the Mordechai's Girsa of the Gemara, we actually equate Purim and Shavuos, and we consider both of them to be in the category of Yom Shenitna Bo Torah. So according to the Mordechai's reading of the Gemara in Psachim, the Gemara in Shabbos of Peivav, which says Kimu V'Kiblu, isn't just a nice Divrei Agada. We take it very seriously, and it shapes the character of the day of Purim. Purim is a day of Kabbalah Satorah. Yom Shenitna Batorah, and that's the reason why it's Kulo Lachem as opposed to Chatzi Lachem and Chatzi Lashem. So if you take that in combination, so then the idea that there's a special din of Talmud Torah on Purim itself, the day of Kabbalah Satorah, of its special Kabbalah Satorah, is very sensible. And again, I would add that precisely because it's not obvious, and not being obvious is reflected again by the formulations of the Bali Tosus and Rambam, who try to downplay it even when we have it, is precisely what makes it important and challenging to figure out what it means. What do we mean? We say Sholin V'Darshin B'Hilchos HaPurim B'Purim B'Dinei Purim. What is it about Purim? What are we supposed to darshin from the Megillah such that it may even qualify for the Asiya of the integration of Zechira and Asiya? In light of this, I think I just wanted to add two other points. And that is as follows. The Darkei Moshe asks a question in his Perush. According to the Rambam, that the only reason, it seems like the only reason that Shaul and Vidarshan is a Zecher L'Yom HaPurim, since we're not having Kriyas HaMegillah, and presumably we're also not having the Seuda. Well, the Rambam doesn't speak about it one way or another. So why do you actually need Shaul and Vidarshan? Why wouldn't it have been enough to say Alanisim? Most poskim are of the opinion that we say Alanisim on the Shabbos. The Beis Yosef asks the question in the other direction. How come we do say Alanisim on Shabbos? Why don't we say the Alanisim at the time of Kriyas HaMegillah? Okay. So the Darkei Moshe's question, why isn't Alanisim enough? And the Beis Yosef's question, why do we even bother with Alanisim on the day in which there's no Kriyas HaMegillah? I think, again, point to this issue that Shabbos, Shechal Bo Purim, the Asiya of Talmud Torah is very important. It's very important that it's not enough simply to say Alanisim, and it's so important that it's appropriate, Dafka, to say Alanisim Tzamud, in other words, in conjunction with the saying of, or the Sholin Vidarshin of the Megillah and of Hilchos HaMegillah, because that really is an important part of the day of Purim itself. There is some question about Mishloach Manos and Matanos Le'Avyonim too. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his Moruk Tzia discusses this question. Again, generally it's accepted that Matanos Le'Avyonim is always connected to Mikra Megillah, because as the Gemara says, Einayim Shalaniim Nesuos LeMikra Megillah. The Gemara says that even in the days of Kedima, even in the days where Bizmanehem, Zmanim Harbe, Tiknu Chachamim, where you're Makdim and Lekvar, even then we attach Matanos Levyonim to the Mikra Megillah, because they name Shalaniim Nesuos the Mikra Megillah. But is it possible that there would be some kiyum of Matanos Levyonim on this Shabbos in conjunction with what I'm suggesting is the Asiya, namely Shalim Vidarshin Behilchos Hapurim? That's one possibility. Other possibility with regard to Mishloach Manos. Again, normally we associate Mishloach Manos with the Seuda, but Rabbi Yaakov Emden raises question. He said, listen, the real day of Purim is Tesvav, and from Bukhav Aschoma, of course, is Tesvav. So maybe the Mishloach Manos could be on the Shabbos. That would be more appropriate. The more you build up the day of Shalom, where the one single expression and its asiya is Shalom Vidarshin, I think the more intriguing the message of Shalom Vidarshin is. So what is the Shalom Vidarshin? What is the deeper message that we're supposed to derive from the Megillah and from the halachos of Purim? I think that the answer is, again, based on this idea of Shmuel, which we don't paskin like, but the idea that there's some tremendous advantage to integrating Zechira and Asiya. Again, Shmuel said it's, even though, again, you have to consider what he was writing, even though, you're going to end up sacrificing Zechira Kodem Asiya when it comes to Yadalid, the fact that you can integrate Zechira and Asiya on Yom Tezvav makes it all worthwhile. Now, we don't paskin that way, but it's a very fascinating shita. The truth is that there's a lot of evidence that Yom Yadalid is the universal Purim. This is not for now, but it's the universal Purim, even vis-a-vis people who live in Ir Mukefes Choma. The Chachmei Provence, some of them say it explicitly, that there are 2 days for people who live in walled cities, but that the Ikar Yom, even for them, is Yom Yadalid. And there are many, many strong indications that this is the case in terms of cases of Safek and other things, that Yom Yudalit is like the universal Purim Lakom. The fact that we would sacrifice Zechira Kodem La'Asiya just in order to get that, rare combination of Zechira V'Asiya, according to Shmuel, is striking. And it tells us something about the importance of this connection between Zechira and Asiya. So what is that? The truth is that if you look carefully at all aspects of the day of Purim, the status of nekama, or what looks like nekama on the surface, really stands out. It seems like we're very enthusiastic about revenge when it comes to the holiday of Purim, and that's very shocking in a way. Klal Yisrael is not really focused on vengeance, generally speaking. But when it comes to Purim, this sense of our enemies receiving, you know, what was coming to them, isn't just like a passing thought. It really is a leitmotif in the entire day. It's evident from the Torah Shebichsav of the Megillah and in everything else that we do as well. Just take for example the Alanisim that we say. When you compare Alanisim of Chanukah and of Purim, right? So when it comes to Chanukah, so you know it's Bimei Matzisyo Ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Chashmonai Banav Kish She'amdu Malchus Yavin Arushal Amchi Yisrael Ashkichem Tarasecha La'avirim Chukei Ritzonecha Ve'ata Berachamecha Harabim Amad Talehem. It's all part of the narrative. It's all part of the background. In other words, you know, this is what they tried to do to us, and this is the background, which makes important the, you know, Hatzalah of Klal Yisrael, and the Shevach Lahoda, and the Nes, and the Yimei Chanukah, which are Lahodas Lahalel, etc. But if you read the Alanisim of Purim, you get a totally different impression. Yimei Mordechai Yester B'Shushan Abira, it's also Kisha Amad, but it's Kisha Amad Aleim Haman Harsha Harasha. Then you would think, like the cadence would be, you know, da 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 da. Right? That's not what it is. It's Kisha Amad Aleim Haman Harasha. Right? And then you hit the, you know, the punchline. It's Bikesh Lahashmid Laharu Gula Agbed Eskala Yehudim Minar Vyad Zaken Tafanashim Biyom Echad. That's not part of the background. That is the climax. That's what it's about. Meaning, it isn't just, you know, this is what happened, this are the challenges, this is how the Rabbeinu Shalom turned everything around, and, you know, now we're supposed to focus on our spiritual destiny and Shevach Vahoda, etc. It's not that at all. It's just not the way that the cadences read. It's, this is what happened, and it was Bikesh Lahashmid Laharog La'abed Iskala Yehudim. And it continues that way as well. Atabra Chamecha Rabim, so it's Sefartus Asasul Kilkaltos Makshav Ta Shivosul Gmula Barosho Talo Asoves Banav Alaitz. I mean, that's the end of the story. Meaning, and revenge was achieved in very glorious fashion. That's the end of Alanisa. The truth is that the Gemara tells us, you know, the Gemara has a discussion about saying, you know, Haraves Rivenu, Hadanes Dinenu, and you know, we do this. That's the Gemara in Megillah Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Hilchach Namrinu LeTravayu Hanifra LeYisrael Mikol Tzareihem Akela Moshiach. But if you look at some of the Rishonim Al Atar, so they discuss the question: are these two different? Are there two themes in Haravas Rivenu or not? Hakela Moshiach. So some of the Rishonim say that even the Hakela Moshiach, that becomes a question. You know, how many Chasimos? Some of the Mefarshim say even the Hakela Moshiach is really mostly focused on the Hanifra LeYisrael Mikol Tzareihem, meaning the Yeshua is, you know, inextricably bound up in this case with the Nekama Hanifra Mitzareihem. And the truth is that's how the Gra, you know, suggests to read, you know, Chayev Adam Liv Sumei Bepuria, right, Adalayada Bein Arahoman the Baruch Mordechai. So the Gra says that what it means is that you know, there are two things going on, and the question is what their relationship is: the Baruch Mordechai, the positive, I guess, aspects of the holiday, and the Arur Haman. That's how much do we focus on the Nekama, Hanifra Mitzareinu Mi'aybeinu, and how much on the Yeshua. And, you know, maybe these things should really, the idea of Chai Vadim Libesume Bipuraya is to basically obliterate that line so that, you know, there's really no difference. Not that you shouldn't, you know, the no difference between who Haman was and Mordechai was. And of course, that's ridiculous. The point is, though, that the subtlety of what the interrelationship is between what would otherwise in other holidays be two completely different motifs, namely the motif of Hatzala, Heshiv lo Gmulo Barosho, and the Baruch Mordechai, excuse me, the affirmation of Hashgacha and the values of Mordechai, when it comes to Purim, we really obliterate that that line. That's a very important theme. So the question is why and what's going on here? And of course, if you just look at the psukim in the Megillah itself, this is very obvious. Again, the psukim in the end, after Perek Ches, let's see if I have it here. They don't have the Megillahs here. Conceivable. If you look at the here, they do have the Megillahs. Here we go. Esther. Again, all the psukim pretty much after Perek Ches have this very very strong emphasis, starting from Perek Ches Pasuk Yud Gimel. Excuse me. Where you have Pashegan Aksav Linasin Das Bechol Medina Medina Golo Lecholamim Liyos Yehudim Asidim Liyom Azel Hinakei Me'oivehem. The references to Nakama are ubiquitous. I mean, they're just everywhere. Perektes, the whole Perektes basically works in this direction. Asher Gia Dvar HaMelech V'dasoli Asos Yom Asher Sibru Oyvei HaYudim L'shlot Bahem V'napachu Asher Yishutu HaYehudim Hema B'sonehem. Again, it's Nikalu HaYudim Barehem B'chol B'din Asam HaMelech HaChashverosh L'shloach Yad Ben V'akshera Asam Ishlo Amad L'fnehem Kinafo Pachdam HaKol HaAmim. And Kinafo Pachad Mordechai Aleihem. All this talk about Pachad and Nekama Vayaku HaYehudim b'chol eivei makas chera v'hereg v'abdan v'yasu bed sonehem kirtzonam, right? B'shushan abir horgu HaYehudim v'abdan. You get the general idea. Again, when Esther is given another request, instead of rebuilding Jewish life, al taras hakodesh, she says, give me one more day. I need one more day in order to complete the job, and so on and so forth. Again, Pasuk Hey and Vav and Yud Gimel and Tezvav and Tezayin and Chav Dalet and Chav Hey. The entire discussion. So what is all this vengeance, this embracing of that which appears to be politically incorrect, but which is undeniable, the sense of exhilaration that our enemies really got, what was coming to them. I think it's exactly the theme of the integration of Zechira Va'asiyah. It's not, of course, revenge or vengeance for its own sake. What it really is a sense of yosher, of justice. And the sense of Kolam Rachim ala Achzar, Sofo Lios Achzar B'makom Rachamon. This is a very important perspective, and especially in the kind of world that we live, where political correctness, is taken to an extreme, and people lose sight of the very notion of justice. Of course, one shouldn't be focused on revenge or vengeance in its own right for too long a focus, but there is a time to appreciate. Veishivlo gmulo barosho, justice, because without that appreciation, it ends up being kolam arachem ala achzar. And that's why the integration of zechira and asiya on Purim, the sholem v'darshim, what you're supposed to pull out of the Megillah, which isn't just so obvious, not just the hashgacha, that of course is part of it, but the sense of retribution and justice, the sense of yosher. And even more important, I've spoken about this in the past, I really think it's true, and that is the sense of hope and the rejection of Yiyush, essentially. And I think that's where the Zechira and the Asira and the Asiya come together, and that's why there's so much emphasis on the nekama and on the heshiv lo gemula berosho when it comes to Purim. It's all about kol amarachem al achzar, and that's why Parsha Zachar is so crucial. Ki yad al keis ka muchemas Hashem ba'amalek midor dor. The idea of Chazal, which is that kiso shel Hashem shem Hashem, these things cannot abide a world in which Amalek is defended by political correctness, essentially. The ideology and the doctrine of Amalek is something which is a Tarat Sasri, which is really mutually exclusive with Kiyad al Kais Ka, Shem Hashem, and Kisei Shal Hashem, which of course is founded on Vayikva Hashem Tzedakah B'Mishpat, on the concept of Yosher and on justice. And sometimes you have to be relentless in rejecting and stamping out evil and evil ideologies. Absent that, there can never be the asiyah. Absent that, there can never really be an appreciation of the good things and the positive things and the idealism of life. And that's why I think we say, Rav is Rivenu, Adon is Dinenu. We speak about Hanifra Mitzarenu. In the end, that's the Yeshua of Purim. Of course, it's not meant only to be that, but it's this sense that the enemy of Amalek is really implacable, and to give it any kind of justification or to take Shaul type approaches to Amalek is really to be Kol Amarachem Al Achzar Sofo Leos Achzar. It's not being machmir on Rachmanos. In the end, it's being makil on Achzarius. And that's what Chazal tell us, that the Asher Karcha Baderech of Amalek, the Nikro Nikres philosophy of Amalek, is precisely what Yahadus rejects. That's spoken about it in the past, but the Rambam uses very strong terminology which links all of these things together. The Rambam in Hilchos Tainus, Perek Aleph, speaks about the philosophy of Nikro Nikres, which I think is Asher Karcha Baderech, which is what's associated with Amalek, as Achzariut. It's a strange and strong term that the Rambam uses in that context. He's not talking about Amalek there. But if you link all the associations together, Asher Karcha, Amalek, then you understand what he means by Achzarius. People who don't believe in a real Hashgacha don't believe in real justice. That's really the truth. If you believe in a coincidental world, then in the end you can't really believe in justice. And that's really where Achzarius finds a petach, to infect otherwise people who could have been idealistic people who mean well. And that's why the Rambam is so harsh on the philosophy of Nikro Nikres. That's why the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, when he speaks about Yiras Hashem in Mitzvah Gimel, brings in the philosophy of Nikro Nikres. So you just have to put all these Rambams together. But the reason is, because again, the antithesis of Yiras Elokim is Amalek, v'lo yarei Elokim, whether it refers to Amalek or to Klal Yisrael's vulnerability to Amalek, because lo yarei Elokim. Either way, it's v'lo yarei Elokim. Yiras Elokim is based on a sense of Hashgacha, which in turn is connected to a sense of real Yosher, of justice, which rejects emphatically the concept of Nikro Nikres and the concept of Amalek. So on Purim, we really do focus on what the threat was and the concept of revenge or vengeance, but not in its own right, but as a sense of a rejection of this ideology, which ultimately leads to the idealism of the Asiya. And this is what we sing at the end of the Haggadah, when we say, Shoshanas Yaakov, Tzahala V'Samecha, let Akiva sing it, but another time. I guess he's saving his voice. So. Right. We speak about, Shekol Kovecha Lo Yevoshu V'Lo Yikomu Lo Netzach Kol Achosim Bo. And again, the Gra in several places explains that there's a difference between Bitachon and being Chosim Bo. The Gra in his Perush on Tehillim and his Perush, the Perush HaGra ala Tfila, speaks about this. Al Tiftechu ben Adibim ben Adam. You know, it's better to be Chas a Kadosh Baruch Hu than it is to be Boteach. You know, Ba'adam. Boteach means where you have a kind of quid pro quo, and you have a promise that you're supposed to rely on. Being chas is somebody who just has faith in justice and in yosher and in hashkacha, and simply relies on Ribbono Shel Olam even without any kind of quid pro quo or promises. So we say kol hachosim bo. There's bitachon, and then there is being chas ba'Hashem. We speak about Hakel HaMoshia, and Melech Ozer Moshia Umagen. Again, the Gra says that Ozer is based on Tfila and Ishtadlos, a person who receives Ezra assistance and help because of the effort that he puts in. Lech Knos HaYehudim, when Esther was finally fully cognizant of, im hachareish tacharishi, revach v'hatzala yamod la'yehudim mimakam acher. So then it was lech kenos ha'yehudim. You know, that's one aspect of it. But in addition to that, there's a concept of Yeshua, even without that. And this is what we speak about in the end of the Megillah. We say these little pizmon, Shoshanas Yaakov, Tzahala v'samecha, and we speak about kol koivecha lo yevoshu, precisely because that really is the theme of the day. The theme of the day is not to give up hope, but to rely on the fact that there is justice. That if a person fights implacable evil, and he seeks revenge for the dark forces that really threaten idealism and hope in the world, that in the end, Yashuv lo gmulo barosho, that will be achieved. And there will be a Yeshua, and that there will be an Ezra, one lenetzach, the other lekol dar vadar, each according to its own dynamic. But that will be the ultimate lot of people who are ultimate idealists, even if it expresses itself initially in an unpleasant way of nekama. And the Rambam, in the very Hakdama to Mishneh Torah, after he lists the Sefer HaMitzvos, so he talks about Purim and Chanukah and the fact that there's no violation of Bal Tosif, and he says, after all, the theme of Purim and of Chanukah is the theme of... Anybody have language of the Rambam here? I forgot to bring it. Is the theme of reliance on the fact that, Mik Amcha Yisrael Goyachad Ba'aret. You have it? Go ahead. They have a karav l'shavaseinu, no? Yeah, where they have? Go ahead. L'shavenu, okay.
K'dei l'barcho l'halo v'dei l'hodil l'dor sabayim she'emes ma'ashe ha'evtichanu ha'torah ki mi goi gadol asher lo avim karavim alav.
Ki emesu, one more time. Ki emesu mashiv ticha Torah. So in I once saw, I may have mentioned this before, but that Rav Michal Feinstein, who was Rav Elville's son-in-law, he said that what Rava once asked him about Shoshanas Yaakov. He says, how can we sing Shoshanas Yaakov after the Megillah? And we speak about, you know, Kikol, you know, Lo Yevoshuv, Lo Yekomel, Anetzach, Kalachosim Bo. He said, how can we do that? So he said, he responded, you know, well, you know, we're reading the Megillah. It's a nice story of Yeshua Yisrael. So, you know, we just want to mention that, you know, this is a... you know, this is a general theme that we should be appreciative of. He says that Rav Elul gave him, I think this is in the context of a hesped, he said Rav Elul gave him, you know, one of those looks, you know, like, you know, that's the best you can do. And he said, no, he said, that's the point. It isn't some other theme that we happen to zero in on during the time of the Megillah. That is the theme of Purim. The theme of the Purim, and then he quoted this Rambam that we just read in the Hakdama, right after the Minyan HaKatzar of the Minyan Mitzvahs. Because basically the language of the Rambam is the language of Shoshanas Yaakov. That's really what he's saying. L'hodia, kol kaivecha, lo yikomu, lo lanetzach, kol achosim bo. That who has a special relationship nationally other than Klal Yisrael with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that b'chol karayinu, you know, that that he will come to our assistance. Essentially, what he's saying is that what these little pizmon captures and what the Rambam captures in that nice little peroration towards the end of the Akdama is the idea of hope. And the idea that, that you know, when pursued properly, Hashgacha is the basis for hope. And I think, again, I spoke a couple of years ago, somebody asked, I think it was Yonah, and Akiva asked me to speak about Matanis L'Avyonim. So we spoke about Avyonim, and I tried to make the point there as well that we don't speak about Aniyim on Purim, we speak about Avyonim. I think the idea of Avyonim is, you know, Hataev, that's where the Gemara in Bava Metzia uses it as well. People who are not just, you know, impoverished or very impoverished, but the point is that they're out of the mainstream and that they've lost the sense of belonging with the community of the world. Know, with the community of Klal Yisrael, people basically who have been misyayish and they're no longer part of the mainstream. And the point is that Matanas Levyonim is the call of Purim. And of course, the Rambam has a beautiful formulation of that as well in the very end of Hilchos Megillah. But this will conclude, where he says that as important as Matanas Levyonim and the Suuda is, in the end, Matanas Levyonim. Mutav la'adam laharbos matonas avyonim laharbos b'sudaso b'shiluach manos l'reyav. She'en sham simcha gedolah mufuara ela sameach lev aniyim v'yisomim v'almanos v'geirim. Sham sameach lev ha'um l'alam ha'elu doma l'shchina. She'nem l'hachyos ruach shvalim v'l'hachayos lev nitka'im. So I would just add that, you know, people discuss the relationship between this Rambam and the Rambam at the very end of Perek Vav, Hilchos Yom Tov, where he talks also about, you know, Simchas Yonta shouldn't be Simchas Kreso, and that's why you have to give to Aniyim and Almanos and Yesomim. But I think that they're really two different ideas in the Rambam, even though in both cases they're beautiful formulations. And here the Rambam is saying something very specific about Purim. The whole idea of Purim is this idea of hope and faith and a sense of justice and the fact that there is no member of Klal Yisrael. Even the Lev Umlalim can be subject to Simcha, and we can be Dome L'Shchina, L'Hachios Ruach Shvalim, L'Hachios Lev Nidkaim. Nidkaim in the sense of people who have lost, you know, their idealism, and they've lost hope. And I think especially when Purim is Chal Lios B'Shabbos for Arim HaMukafos, and all there is to focus on is the idea of Shalin V'Darshin, and Shmuel's idea, which we don't paskin like, but the idea of integrating Zechira and Asiya, especially if the Asiya is the Shalom V'Darshim, and that really is the Shalom V'Darshim, that we can really appreciate that it isn't just a Nekama, and it isn't just, you know, Heshivu, you know, Lo Barosho, but that that itself is meant to really be the methodology, but only half the story, of adopting a certain idealistic view of the world, a view in which Hashgacha is central, a view in which, you know, faith and hope stand as the linchpin. So as we move towards the end of the week and the celebration of Purim, there's some ideas. ideas to think about. Okay.